prophet Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before us, before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offering and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah, our second reading this morning is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, and beginning to read at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I am a virgin. How then can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. for there is nothing that God cannot do. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it happen to me as you have said. And the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God our Father, as we've just sung, may this morning be all about Jesus, about his touch on our lives and our relationship with him. Amen. Good morning. Lovely to see you all. I feel we should incorporate physical exercise into the sermon just to keep our circulation going. but there we are. Anyway, those of you who remember Lydia and Drew and the children, I do bring you their greetings. We let them know that we were coming here this morning and they sent a message, be sure to send everyone love. Needless to say, they are still alive. Will do. So this morning, if we could have our first slide up. That's it. This morning, the title is Mary's Prayer. And as I typed those words, I thought, there's the cue for a song. Some of you will remember, some of you won't. So this morning, we're following a theme of prayer, and I thought I'd offer you a couple of thoughts about prayer. The question, what is prayer? And I want to offer you these two thoughts in the spirit that I have found these thoughts helpful over the years. So we'll have our next one, please. That's it. And again. Oh, no. No, that's not. No, no, no. Now then, that's interesting. Something should come up now. Is it going to? Ah, there it is. Hooray! Right. Never trust technology. I've learnt over the years, but there we are. Okay, so this is the first thought. The first thought about what is prayer is this. Prayer is keeping company with God. Prayer is keeping company with God. And I found that tremendously liberating over the years because it takes us away from the idea that prayer is something that we do, something that we have to do. And it takes us into the realm of the fact that prayer is something that we live. Our life is a prayer. Our life as Christians is a life spent in the company of God. Quite simple. Prayer is keeping company with God. And I love that thought, and I love that idea, that each moment of each day is prayer, because we are keeping company with God. So that's the first thought I offer you. Is that a new thought? No? Good. Excellent. Here's the second thought. And this comes from a gentleman whose name you will know, Rowan Williams. And you're thinking, Rowan Williams? Gosh. Rowan Williams said, prayer is like sunbathing. Prayer is like sunbathing. He went on to say, the idea is that if we turn up, then something will happen. And do you know what it's like, sunbathing? Difficult to imagine it in this weather, but you think when you're on holiday, there you are, you put your towel out, you get down, you put your suntan on, you lie there, and something happens. You turn up, something happens. And it's the idea, and it's linked to the first idea, that if we keep company with God, if we are there, then something will happen. So I offer you those two thoughts. Anyway, back to Mary. And Mary was probably a teenager when the angel visited her. I suspect sort of mid-teens. And it was an unexpected encounter. She lived off the beaten track of life, tucked away in the back streets of Galilee in Nazareth. And it wasn't the most sought-after place or location. Now, we're not sure what sort of encounter this was. So, what was it really like? Was it really like that? Well, we don't know. Or it might have been like this. We're not sure. Or maybe even like this. And you will have sensed the terror in her face. Or perhaps it was like that. I'm thinking probably not that, but what do I know? The truth is, we do not know. But what we do know is that through this visit, this encounter, Mary encountered the living God. And that encounter was a moment in history when the course of the world changed. So, what can we learn about prayer from this encounter? Right, let's see. Oh, there we are. Now, I do have a slight feeling that I might be teaching my grandma to suck eggs in this sermon, but I thought, well, we'll just go with it. Prayer involves listening. Prayer involves listening. And so often we see prayer as us babbling away to God about, can you sort this, can you sort that, can you do this, can you do that, help me with this, help me with that, that we actually don't listen. If our prayer is keeping company with God each moment of each day, then through the day we are listening. Mary listened carefully to what Gabriel said. Now, are you a good listener? I have to say, my performance in terms of listening is a bit patchy. It's like the curate's egg, good in parts. And it all depends on whether I am concentrating or whether I'm miles away. Now, if you speak to my wife, she will say that if I'm miles away, then it doesn't matter what she says. Although I may be looking at her and smiling, I haven't a clue what she said. The other flaw is that sometimes she does say things and I do hear them, However, within a few seconds, it is gone. So, my performance as a listener is, as I've said, patchy. But the point is that listening is an active thing. Listening is an active thing. And when I really do try and concentrate, then I do hear things. I do actually hear what my wife says. And I think it's the same with God. It's the same in prayer. When we are keeping company with God and focused on that, then there are the times when we hear from God. We hear what is going on. If you're not listening, then you certainly won't hear anything. If we are paying attention to listening, then we will hear. So prayer involves listening. Very, very important, fundamental. Some of the great saints would say that that listening is the most important part of prayer. And Mary, to her credit, listened to what was being said. The second point. Hooray! Well, I think we're on a winner here. The second point. Prayer involves pondering. Mary thought deeply about what she'd heard. She didn't just accept it all, she thought about it. Now, as we're out and about, we hear all sorts of stuff. In my years of ministry, I've heard some amazing stuff. And I've discovered that it's always worth stopping and asking the question, did he or she really say that? The number of times that I've been approached by a member of the congregation who's said something along the lines of, everybody thinks blah, blah, blah. Really? It's always worth stopping and thinking, is that true? Is it everybody? Or might it be just that one person who thinks whatever it is? It's always worth pondering what you think you've heard. And again, over my years of experience, I have to say more trouble than you might imagine is caused by people not hearing or speaking clearly. Rumours spread based very often on what people think they've heard, which actually isn't quite what they have heard. When we believe God is speaking to us, then it's always worth checking it out. I do remember a story some years ago of a young man who went to his minister claiming to have heard from God that he was to divorce his wife and take up with somebody else. And the minister very wisely said, are you sure that's from God? because it doesn't sound like it to me. It doesn't sound the sort of thing that God might say to you. We have, of course, in the Bible, a great source of how God looks at things. And when we hear something, it's always worth thinking, is that in accordance with the Bible? Or if we have a trusted Christian friend who we can talk to, or a minister, it's always worth checking with them. Is that really what I'm hearing? Take the time. Don't rush. Check it out. Prayer involves that pondering of what we think we've heard. And Mary did that because she goes on to ask a question. We're told, first of all, that she was deeply troubled by the message that came. We're told then, after she'd heard all that it would involve, she says, well, how's this going to happen? Because I don't see how it's going to happen at the moment. She asked a question. She wasn't afraid to ask the question. And sometimes asking questions can be seen as, you know, rude or disrespectful or being disobedient. It's not. It's the way in which we ask the question. It's our attitude when we ask the question. We can ask the question in a way that is seeking after what is the truth, or we can ask the question in a way that is challenging what we've heard because we don't believe it. Prayer, keeping company with God, involves asking questions. Is this really what you are asking of us? And I don't think God minds those questions. If those questions are based on our pondering and struggling with what we think we're hearing, I don't think God minds. In fact, if it's a sign that we are listening carefully, if it's a sign that we are engaging with what God is saying, then it's a good thing. Prayer involves questions. And finally, prayer involves response. At the end of the reading, Mary responds. She doesn't leave it in the air. She responds, may it happen to me as you have said. After all of that, she submits to God's will. She is obedient to her calling. Even though it was going to be a tough call, and probably the only bit that she was anticipating at that moment in time was there might be a bit of a problem with the husband-to-be. There would almost certainly be a problem with the parents. And there's a whole trauma of giving birth to a child. I doubt that at that moment Mary could see much beyond that, but one has to say with hindsight, that was the easy bit. She was committing herself to a life of pain and heartache. She didn't know that, but there she was saying, okay. Now, I have to say that that level of encounter for Mary was probably not a daily experience. But it came about because she was attentive to God. She was there, listening to God, walking with God, keeping company with God when it mattered. And so my final thought hopefully isn't a blank screen. My final thought for you all is, will you be there when it matters? Will you be there when it matters? Amen.
Thank you, Ian, and welcome back, folks from the centre. I'm taking a punt that they're probably warmer than we are. So this is your opportunity to stand up.